Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Welcome, Newsbusters listeners, to the final episode with the Night Crew keeping the podcast on the rails. I know we've really enjoyed filling in for Tim, who will be back on Monday, and we hope you enjoyed listening to the young guns here of Newsbusters.
Yeah, Curtis is still here alongside Nick, and again, I'll talk about this at the end, but thank you so much for listening, even if you just listened to the first one and decided that was enough, and you're tuning back in to see if Tim's still here. We're grateful, and we've really, really enjoyed it, had some really great guests. We have one today. We have one coming up in a little while. We're going to talk to MRC Latino director Jorge Bonilla, who has had a very good few weeks, Nick.
Yes, he has had a marvelous week breaking and sort of being all over this sort of weird thing with Univision, where a reporter who's not one of their reporters asking this doting question and praising Kamala, who the Univision told the White House wasn't their reporter.
It's something from a Veep sketch. It's
the
really
whole
weird
thing is just like all over the place.
It's so ridiculous. And that's just one of the couple stories that we're going to have him get into, because he's really been driving the news cycle in a lot of ways here. A lot of these stories that we'll talk about, you'll recognize them and be like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that on Fox. Well, yeah, that was started, and it would not have been the story they've been without Jorge leading the charge at MRC Latino.
Oh, absolutely. And he was like drawing it out of them. Speaking of other sort of ridiculous or funny stories in the media today, last night, Joe Rogan of the Joe Rogan Experience, Curtis, sort of made a fool of Brian Stelter, helped him do that, where he called out the CNN media janitor for his bootlicking interview with Jen Psaki, if you remember that, a few weeks ago. And I'm just going to warn listeners, there is some profanity. We're gonna try to keep it down, but something might slip out. Just a warning. He basically told Brian Stelter, like, hey, mother blanker, you're supposed to be a journalist. And that him and progressive YouTuber Kyle Kulinski just completely ripped into him and CNN.
Yeah, that's... It was something else. It was really something to see here. And particularly Rogan making fun of Stelter's ratings, saying that he's slipping and slipping and slipping in the rankings, and Kulinski saying he's the worst. Well, yeah, he kind of is. We saw that with other CNN hosts, speaking of the worst, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Fredo and Don Lemon, last night, Lemon talking about, you know, white privilege and critical race theory, lecturing parents out in the hinterlands that if you oppose it, you're just uncomfortable with it and you don't want to talk about race. That's kind of setting the table for later in this block here, but it's kind of the same thing. These people, they just make such horrible decisions. There's such an insulated bubble here that Charles C.W. Cook talks about that we both have shared in National Review. It's just a fantastic story. I couldn't even do it close to doing it justice. But these people are in such bubbles here where they make decisions based off of Twitter real life. Someone tweeted, I forget who it was, I believe a aide to Com Cotton said, if Twitter were a congressional district, it would be like Portland. Which, considering, what is it, the riot police are gone?
Oh, yeah, like Twitter can be considered just like a riot on fire most of the time.
Right, and they're going to send in social workers, as in, like, Twitter fact checkers to try and make everything better. But, you know, that's that's a whole nother thing. But this was interesting, Nick, when you brought this up.
Oh, yeah, because not only were they, like, ragging on Stelter, is they also were going after CNN, and they brought up this one time where CNN, like, back in January, was, like ripping their hair out over how the fact that there are YouTube stars in certain programs on YouTube that get more viewers and more notoriety than CNN shows, and they were flipping out. And Rogan pointed out is like they were describing. He said, "quote They were describing it as if they're entitled to viewers."
Yeah, it's incredible. And as Rogan points out after that, this is quote This is because the market has spoken, and your show's effing terrible. It's really simple here. People vote with their feet. I think we talked about this on Wednesday, I believe, or Monday, where if you want liberal punditry, MSNBC has got that. they've been doing it for over a decade now. Everybody knows what their deal is. But CNN tries to, like, wiggle in by lying. And it's just... there's no words to adequately describe how terrible CNN is right now and how little they actually care about their viewers. Yeah, it's just kind of a mess. And Rogan and Kulinski, again, not a conservative guy, really hit the nail on the head here. And I think that's why it resonated and it's been doing so well at Newsbusters and all the other sites that have written about it.
Exactly. Kulinski, like, even went on to, like, sort of bash Brian Stelter for doing this a lot. And I know we've written about it at Newsbusters, where him and CNN literally openly push for censorship of their political opponents.
Right, yeah, there's a whole cable packages thing. We're going to, like, police now where people, go for cable pack, like, what channels are on people's cable packages when they subscribe. They're trying to get Fox News booted off. And that really shows that they don't... These people are liberals, but it's an important distinction and reminder that they're anything but classical liberals. They don't value open debate. Instead of open debate, they're just trying to get rid of you.
Exactly.
Because if they don't like you... their other argument is, you know, your words are violent rhetoric here. And I talked about this, I believe, on Wednesday, but you kind of flip it around. I don't have a piece of paper with me here, but you flip it around, as Dan Bongino noted on his radio show, and the opposite is true, as in CNN and MSNBC's rhetoric is the one that's dangerous here.
Exactly. And, like, what Kulinski also pointed out was that they throw the word conspiracy theories around, like, a lot whenever it is, like, you, like what you said the other day with, like, without evidence. Like, he says that he's like, and by the way, they use that for blanking everything. They use it so loosely. And, like, that's sort of like what we were getting at earlier with what they say about the people on the right who say what they say about, like, who condemn critical race theory.
Right. Yeah, exactly here. And they won't even talk about them. Again, they won't talk about the merits of why people don't like them. You go back to the main point about why they brought up Stelter and CNN was the Jen Psaki interview.
Exactly.
Like, it was pitiful. It was objectively bad. There was nothing accomplished. There was no moving of the ball down the field. And that's one of the things I look for when I watch White House press briefings here as the beat reporter for Newsbusters, which is, did someone's question advance the ball down the field? They don't have to be a gotcha question. They don't have to be a screaming question or one that leads to a confrontation. The question, the baseline for me is, in terms of what is not a softball, is does it take a story of the day, a news story, something in the news, and does it advance the ball down the field in terms of drawing out more information from the White House? With an IE Jen Psaki or whomever she has with her as a guest speaker. For the benefit of the people. And again, we talked about on this podcast, education. You want the news to educate you. You want to learn something from having watched the news that you haven't watched, didn't know beforehand. And that's what's not happening here. What are we getting wrong? How could we do our better jobs? I want to be, you be a better role model for... there was something about being a role model for his daughter here, which there was Jeffrey Toobin a couple days later, so that kind of...
yeah, he was sort of saying, it's like, I got two daughters going into... or he has a daughter going into pre-kindergarten, and he wanted Psaki to explain to him, like... or, like, how was he going to be able to explain the craziness of the Republican Party. It's like, one, she's going into kindergarten. Why are you trying to expose her to like politics writ large like that? Like, it's sort of like, let the kids be kids.
Right. It makes absolutely no sense here. That's been a really big story that I really think people really enjoy. If you haven't read it yet, I definitely encourage you to check it out. You can't miss it because of all the asterisks that Nick put in there with this profanity in the headline at Newsbusters. Has another great photo of Jen Psaki and Brian Stelter. The other thing I want to talk about is just a couple things with our remaining time before we have to go to Jorge, is Juneteenth. Now, Nick, we were talking about this before we went on the air,
yes.
which is Donald Trump was for this. This was part of his platinum plan, I recall, that last
exactly.
year that the media derided. And they didn't actually look at. Again, this is something talking about not engaging in substance or in good faith arguments where you don't actually look at it. It was from Trump, so therefore Orange Man bad. Joy Reid here, absolutely incredible. She's trying to say that via the passage of Juneteenth, Republicans actually want to ban any and all talk of not just Juneteenth, but slavery in America, because we object to A, critical race theory, and B, the plot hole filled, erroneous, awful, terrible 1619 project. Let's take a listen to a couple sound bites of what happened last night.
Republicans claim they support the holiday while simultaneously passing laws to make sure your kids can't learn about it in school. While Juneteenth will now be commemorated nationwide, there's a catch. In some red states, it could soon be illegal to teach what the holiday is all about. That's because Republican state legislatures in a dozen states are now aiming to dictate how historical and modern racism in America are taught. That includes the state of Texas, where Juneteenth was first celebrated. Governor Abbott signed a law this week intended to ban critical race theory from being taught in public schools, even though it's not being taught in any K through 12 curriculums anywhere, including in Texas.
So she says here it should be, quote, illegal, or they're saying it could soon be illegal to teach what the holiday is about. Nick, where is Galveston? Where is Galveston?
Texas.
What is Texas, a blue or a red state?
Red state.
Very much so. And
as much as they want to make it blue, it's going to be red.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's been a holiday for 40 years in Texas, I believe. So,
oh boy.
Oh gosh, those racists down there. Oof, geez. John Cornyn, Dan Crenshaw.
They sound like they're a little ahead of the curve.
Oh. So people pointed out on Twitter this week that, guess what? The passage of Juneteenth is making America a little bit more like Texas. Unless you're a lib from California, or someone who lives in Austin, Texas, you hate that. Or yeah, unless you're someone in those places, you're gonna love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, this story is just so ridiculous. This debate has been so awful, and this is what MSNBC allows to happen here, where they get away with saying things that are just not just false, but bald-faced, pants on fire lies. And they don't care. They just move right along with it. It's truly stunning.
Yeah, and you even had Cuomo last night, who was going on about with suggesting that Republicans were staunchly against it, even though most Republicans that I saw yesterday were for it. And then he was sort of claiming that, like, when it came to teaching critical race theory, he's just like, I just call this history. It's not critical race theory. It's just history.
Right. It's just such a bad faith discussion here. Joy Reid and Annette Gordon Reid tried to talk about this as well. Gordon Reid was saying, quote, critical race theory just talks about the influence of race in American laws. It sounds very innocent. You know, this is what the left does and what a lot of journalists do with their ideas. They try to dress it up and make it sound really awesome and innocent and something that no one would object to. Whereas we conservatives, we talk about things on the merits. We disagree, very much so, even within our own office here. But we are very clear about our intentions and where we stand on things. Liberals and journalists here, they're just very vague. It's all Trojan horse with these people. And that's why it's so helpful when you have things happen, like with Don Lemon at the beginning of the year with Wajahat Ali and Rick Wilson laughing about Trumpers and a lot of the things that Chris Cuomo says, because Chris Cuomo, being the Italian, loud Italian that he is, he just comes out and says it.
Hey, oi. Yeah, and especially since, like, you have just Chris just making some of, like, the most outlandish statements with Republicans when it comes to race. Like, they're raging, like, he claimed that Republicans were waging a holy war against minorities with the voting bills, the voter integrity laws. They're really stoking up, trying to stoke up as much hatred and resentment as possible.
Yeah, I think that's definitely been a theme for our shows here. We're trying to explain here that we believe that these people should be able to live in peace. They're so ridiculous. They're like Joe Biden yelling into the abyss, okay? Except these people, I think, are cogent. We're not sure about Joe Biden, but these people, I'm pretty sure, are cogent. And they know exactly what they're doing here. And it's really dangerous stuff, and it should be called out. Thankfully, the ratings for a lot of these shows are doing as horrible as they are, but, you know, that's why we stay on top of it for Newsbusters.
Yeah, Zucker just is not getting the message at all.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting the message at all. And last I checked, when you're getting beat by, like, Fox News and MSNBC by more than double, you're not doing something right here, and you're just heads in the sand. And then, you know,
as Rogan said, the market has spoken.
Yeah, keep trying, Matt Dornick. You know, we know who you are. Keep coming at us. We'll keep trying to expose you guys and call you out for the hypocrisy, you know, and nonsense that they are, and you are.
Absolutely. Okay, so I think we are seeing Jorge coming up here on the line.
Yes, he's coming in from Orlando. He is very fortunate to live in Florida, unlike us. We're stuck here in Governor Blackface territory of the swamp in cicada country. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I just got an email about Tim Graham from the chief cicada, and he says that they're going to let him go soon.
Okay, so yeah, so hopefully we're going to have Tim back by Monday. So I think we'll see you on the opposite side of the ad. Stay tuned.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
And we are back on our final episode of the Dad's Not Here mini-series of the Newsbusters podcast. Nick and I are here, and joining us now, the man, he's not a myth, but he is a legend, Jorge Bonilla, the director of MRC Latino. Welcome.
Mr. Hauk and Blue Check Nick, what is up?
Yes.
It is great to join you.
In the break, yeah, in the break, Nick was verified on Twitter, and I tweeted that thank goodness I know CPR.
And yes, I was very excited, and apparently not just me, but Tim Graham himself, we just got word, has also been verified.
So that's excellent news. We're taking over, so Bonilla is next on the list. We'll see. So speaking of big moves and things happening, MRC Latino has had quite the week and a half or so. And as you said to us earlier this week, a lot of it is due in part to Vice President Kamala Harris, the gift that just keeps on giving. So we're going to start the end of the beginning of last week with Univision doing a puff piece about how she has Mexican family members, or a Mexican family member.
Right. Well, there's this college professor out of the University of Maryland whose name escapes me right now, but she is related to Kamala Harris on her mother's side, and she's half Indian and half Mexican, and so it's interesting that Univision trots this out. It's a way to make the vice president more sympathetic, which in and of itself is a difficult task, but they're trying to make her sympathetic and fluff her up to Univision's audiences in advance of the trip to Mexico City to meet with President López Obrador and discuss migration and security collaborations and whatever have you. And she was still in Guatemala, and she had just spat out "Don't come," and was getting all sorts of blowback over that. And this is one way that Univision sort of insidiously makes Harris into a sympathetic figure by saying, "Oh, look, she's one of us. She has a Mexican cousin." And they devoted about 22 seconds of their midday newscast to that, sort of to use it as filler and as a sympathy generator, if you will. So what we did is we noticed it. We observed it. I just did a quick... what we do at Latino is when we grab this video, we subtitle it. So you'll notice that turnaround, for those who are curious, that's why sometimes turnaround on MRC Latino items is a bit longer than, say, if you grab something from CNN or MSNBC. We have to transcribe it. We have to subtitle it, go into our video editing and load those captions in. And that takes some time. But with a 22-second video, that wasn't so hard to turn around. So I grabbed it, subtitle that turned it around, spat it out. And Univision's anchor, the noon anchor, tweeted back. He had the temerity to tweet back at me and say, hey, why don't you watch our newscast instead of tweeting out a clip? Well, dude, first of all, it's not a clip. It was your full report on Camo's Mexican cousin.
Oh,
right?
No.
Oh, boy.
But he was like, why don't you tweet out, why don't you watch our newscast instead of tweeting out a clip? Thank you so much.
That's just...
And my response was like, dude, we have watched your newscast. And unfortunately, we do watch your newscast. And, I had to let him know, Curtis.
It's a clown move, bro. This is kind of what we do. Like, regular Newsbusters, MRC Culture with scripted TV shows, MRC Latino. We watch so you don't have to. This is kind of our MO. So you come at us, you best not miss. And one of the easiest ways to get a swing and a miss is say that we haven't watched something.
And that's the reason why we do what we do with the videos and the transcripts is because we want to make sure we have the receipts that we show the people. It's like, hey, you might criticize us that we're talking about this, but hey, here's the evidence. This is our proof.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me that I don't watch your newscast, that it's sort of our that's like central to our role and what we do at the MRC.
Exactly.
So, right. Exactly.
I responded immediately. And that post took a little bit of time to turn around and said, look, dude, we do watch you. We have watched you, unfortunately. And let me list all the ways in which you guys suck. And turn that out fairly quickly.
Well, we want to move next now, Nick, to the grand poobah.
Yes.
Oh, this
Kamala in Guatemala.
There was Kamala in Guatemala. Then she went to Mexico. And the press conference, kind of like Hunter Biden's laptop from hell, this was like the press conference from hell here. For both
Kamala Harris in Mexico was infrastructure for me.
It was infrastructure, yes.
It was life.
Yeah, as you often say, bet all my best to those who celebrate, So give us the lowdown here, because you and I watched this in real time, and we're like, did this just happen? It is one of the stranger things I think that either one of us has seen in politics and news.
It was strange, really. And of course, for those of you joining us, Curtis is talking about the Mexico City podcast. I mean, the interview, the press conference, something like that. The press conference where this lady claiming to be a Univision reporter, or she was presented as a Univision reporter. And they say, Maria Fernanda from Univision, now you have the next question. And at that point, she stands up from her chair and begins to shower the vice president with praise and say, you know what? This is my first election as a naturalized citizen. And I voted for you. I wanted to let you know that I voted for you. And I think you're so awesome and so glorious. And the vice president was like, thank you. And you caught it. You put me. You alerted me to it because it aired on Univision. Didn't carry it, so it aired on on MSNBC. I think they cut into Joy Reid, if I'm not mistaken, in order to carry this press conference.
The best show to cut into.
Which thanks to your since you had the sad duty of monitoring Joy Reid, you got to see that and let me know of it, and that's how we became aware of it. And I'm like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Because Univision personnel, although that's probably the most liberal network of all, they usually make pains to be discreet and to about their biases and to still kind of guise it all under journalism. But this lady just didn't care. And I'm like, this seems odd, but you know what? She was introduced as a Univision reporter. And she didn't dispute it at the time. Nobody disputed it at the time. So I have the only information I have to arrive at a conclusion is the four corners of the video that's in front of me.
Exactly.
So we tweeted something out. The video went viral. And one of the things that made it go viral was that Univision's president of news, Daniel Coronel, he quote tweeted the first disavowal or their first really statement was a quote tweet of my video that we clipped and put out there, where he said, no, she's not part of Univision and whatever have you. And this is, she was not one of us. And that's it. But the story kind of snowballed there, guys, because from there, all night long, people ran with this imposter theory. Oh, she's an imposter. She snuck into the press conference. How could this happen? And that was the theory that sort of ran. The Daily Mail reported it that way, and Fox. And that theory kind of picked up steam until, but two things happened. Univision's Mexico City correspondent, Jessica Cermeño, went on late night. That was Tuesday night. She went on late Tuesday night and said, no, we clarified to the White House. And we told them that she was with Stanford, the Stanford Latino Entrepreneurship Initiative. And they promised us that they would rectify it and fix it in the transcript and help clear this up. All night, the entire night transpired without the White House giving a statement or clarifying. So Univision was sort of perceived as being left twisting in the wind, kind of, if you will. So we come to the morning, and Univision gets a hold of Maria Fernanda and interviews her. And it was a contentious 13-minute interview where the anchor, the correspondent, was on her and said, well, do you see the harm that you have caused by representing yourself as someone who's from Univision? Do you see the harm that our reputation has suffered, our journalistic integrity and our standards? And she's like, dude, I disclosed all along. I told them from the beginning who I was and where I was, but the White House didn't issue a statement. Nobody said anything. I told them, you know, they were getting information. They even asked me when they were putting together their question and answer list. That kind of broke some news there. As they were putting together their question and answer list, they asked me, and I told them, and then I told them again, and they said they'd fix it. So what we have here, guys, is a story where really nobody's believable, where I can't believe either Univision or the White House, where it seems like they're each giving their version, but, you know, there you have it. And the story just went crazy.
Before Nick jumps in, yeah, it's really incredible, this story, the fact that they would be pointing at each other. And you'll talk, you'll probably talk more about this, but the fact that these two allies, hand in glove, would be doing this is just such a major error, unforced error, faux pas by Simone Sanders. We should point out, Bernie Sanders spokesperson turned CNN commentator turned Biden campaign communications person.
Also bodyguard for that one.
Bodyguard, yes. But she was passed up by white woman Jen Psaki for the press secretary gig. So she was left to lead the office for Vice President Harris. And she was the one who made this blunder here. And this is why you support all aspects of the MRC, because we're watching all of these sorts of things. And there was no way the story would have been quite what it was if it wasn't for Jorge's reporting.
There were even reporters giving Joe Biden credit for Simone Sanders' linebacker tackle of that guy who rushed the stage. But yeah, so Jorge, couple of things that I noticed is, like what you were saying, is like they left Univision twisting in the wind. It sort of strikes me of just like, if you have friends like that, who needs enemies in a certain way? That they're like, and you sort of notice this with Biden when he was like at right after talking with Putin, where he was like snapping at reporters who were asking him like basic questions. So it's almost like for some reason they see the media as an adversary, even though the media is on their side. And the second point is like you definitely saw like how you were describing that interview with the woman. Univision was basically just using it as this is our time to get retribution against this person.
Yeah, it was like retribution and rehab.
Yeah.
Image rehab, because the fact is that they were made to look like fools. They were made to look biased. Even though I'll giving credence to the theory that this was some kind of accident, they were made to look biased. They were made to look like fools. So they did everything they could to kind of protect that monopoly and protect their image. And that's why you saw the aggressiveness in going after Maria Fernanda the way that they did.
A question that that just popped into my mind was, because you sort of see occasionally with some networks and stuff, when there's a faux pas in one, they'll sort of like pounce on it a little bit to be like, score some like kidney hits on their competitor. Did Telemundo, how did Telemundo like respond to this?
There was no response. There was no coverage of that. There was also no coverage of what happened next, which was after that whole fiasco. When Kamala Harris comes back to Washington, she is interviewed by Ilya Calderon of Univision that same night, like right after the Maria Fernanda interview, shortly thereafter. Ilya Calderon sits down with the vice president. And as she's asked, when are you going to the border? Because there's a delay, she interrupts herself a little bit. But she's asked, when are you going to the border, Vice President? And at that point, she says, I'm not finished.
Oh, boy.
And cuts off the anchor. That was another viral video. That was another story that blew up. And that sort of was the icing on the cake of the Vice President's disastrous week with regard to foreign policy, with regard to Central America, with border security and border issues. And it was... most jarring to me was the sort of friction between the White House and between Univision, which is an extremely friendly network. Because you got to understand, and this is a point we've often made in our time at MRC Latino, Univision needs a Democrat in the White House. They need Democrats in Congress because they depend on Democrats to pass friendly immigration policies. So it's like if you need like any kind of lobbying, you are going to vote and you're going to support the people that will give you the relief that you seek, whether it's regulatory relief at the FCC, whether it is immigration relief. And that's your biggest relief. Jorge Ramos, a few years ago, 5 years ago, he went to Yale, Harvard University and addressed his daughter's graduating class at Harvard. And in a Q&A, he was asked, what do you think the future is of Spanish language TV? And he said, look, as long as you have 1.5 to 2 million immigrants coming over the border every year, most of whom are Spanish language dominant, whether they're legal or not, Spanish language TV will have a guaranteed future of growth in this country. So it is in Univision's business interest and in Telemundo's business interest to continue to have the border the way it is and to continue to have lax immigration policy where people can continue to come, mostly from Central America, from Mexico, from Latin America, and sort of have, you know, Univision as that only safe haven or Telemundo for news, for entertainment. So it's really a symbiotic relationship. So that's why it's so jarring.
So insidious.
And that's why it's kind of jarring to see Kamala kind of snapping at the Univision anchor.
Yeah.
Because they're really there for each other.
And all that, Jorge, I mean, just two quick topics here before we leave. We got to run. One is, I believe this interview came out the same day that there were reports that she had been doing media training. So there are stories about her needing media training, you know, leaks coming from the Biden White House, which is something that we had not seen a lot of in this administration thus far. And then that comes out. So this, like, not split screen, but this dichotomy here was just absolutely amazing to see. The Biden White House or Harris's people leak about how she's been trying to get better at media interviews, and this happens. And it just totally underlines what's going on here.
I got to tell you, Curtis, if that's true, then what kind of a clown show are they running over there?
Yeah, exactly.
Because how do you get, especially with the statewide, you know, when you have somebody who runs for state attorney general, you're running for a statewide office in the largest state in the nation with, when you have several of the nation's biggest media markets, LA is number two, then you have San Francisco, So you're constantly in the gaze of media. Then when you run for Congress, that is also, and let me tell you something, the major parties, when you run for office, and I know this firsthand because in what seems like a lifetime ago, I ran for Congress. But when you run, the campaign arms get a hold of you. And they want to meet you. They have you come over there because they want to meet you. And they kind of set aside some time for you with the comms people because they want to make sure that you're not going to be a buffoon and be clown yourself when you go in front of cameras and begin, you know, they don't want you to soil the bed, so to speak. So they sit you down with the comms people and do some dry runs with you and do some training. So how do you be in such a position where you've been in the Senate for X amount of years and you're running on a major ticket and you still need comms training? What kind of failure is that? When you're at this stage of the game, trust me, at this level, there's no comms training. You either have it or you don't, and they got to work around you and work around your deficiencies. And that's why I guess the vice president did these interviews from her office, from the comfort of her office, where maybe you could see cue cards and you could load up cue cards and have these sort of things. And yet she still managed to give us that I'm speaking moment. So that's if true, that's an even bigger communications failure.
Yeah, it's definitely something to give a hyena laugh at.
Right. Curtis, yeah. Nick has one quick thing. We've only got a minute or two left, but just want to get a really
Oh, yeah.
Quick
like this is definitely just something just to give to our listeners is that on Wednesday, Fox News did this report where they talked with an Ecuadorian migrant who had come up and they asked her, like, did you hear Kamala's comment of don't come, don't come? And they're like, we didn't hear anything. We didn't hear it. So it's sort of like she gave all this speech and it turns out for nothing, it seems.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So, but this is an issue that we're going to stay on top of. MRC Latino had an infrastructure week, as Jorge talked about earlier, in terms of traffic on the website, in terms of our top 10 most read articles. It was a sight to behold. Usually something that Mr. Fonacar over here is applied to, but it was great to see Jorge, you and Kathy and Mesa doing so well with this team, and I know there's going to be a lot more coming ahead. So thank you so much for coming on. I know Tim will definitely be having you again soon, and we'll probably be talking later today.
Whenever Mr. Graham gets back from his tour of the Upper Midwest, I certainly look forward to rejoining him, but it's always great hanging out with you guys. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that is it, folks. We have made it, what is this, 7 episodes, Nick? We made it 7 episodes. And if you've listened to the first episode and then quit and came back hoping Graham was here, or you've listened to all of them, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your comments. Nick, this has been a lot of fun.
Oh, totally. It's been great keeping the wheels on the train going.
Yeah, we somehow have made it, and we're very blessed. Thanks to Ben Graham, our producer here, Tim's boy. He's crushing it, as always, giving him double thumbs up. And continue to listen. Continue to support Newsbusters, MRC Latino, and the rest of our sister websites, CNS and MRC, or CNS News and MRC TV, excuse me. Check out the Newsbusters t-shirts now available at the MRC store because, you know, you'll definitely stand out with our fluorescent orange here. Much brighter than the very nice red MRC Latino. But at any rate, Tim will be back on Monday. So we hope to see you again in the guest spot on Wednesdays. Until then, stay classy, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.